WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from sending any state's National Guard troops to Oregon. The judge saying last night it appears the Trump administration was deliberately trying to circumvent her previous ruling, blocking the Oregon Guard from being deployed. Talks beginning in Egypt today on trying to end the Israel-Hamas war. Talks not beginning in Washington today on trying to end the government shutdown.
The Senate today will try to force another vote on a Republican proposal that does not include any of the Democratic demands, which are to reverse Medicaid cuts and also to extend those expiring Obamacare subsidies so health insurance premiums don't go up for millions of Americans. But at this point, these two sides are still at odds. They are only digging in, and there's no end in sight to this government shutdown.
ABC's Rachel Scott. The Supreme Court opening up its session today with some major rulings expected this term on the expanse of presidential power. Nobel Prize in Medicine handed out today. Nobel Peace Prize handed out on Friday. This is ABC News.
Fabulous Farm Aid Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
Winnebago County is trying to get ahead of the curve for 2026 and for 2027 as it makes a budget plan. Winnebago County Executive Gordon Hintz.
The real challenges, I think, for the county and for counties and cities across the country are going to be 2027 budgets because, you know, the bill that was passed by Congress and signed by the president includes considerable cuts to counties to Medicaid.
This year, Hintz updated the process by introducing the budget earlier, presenting it to the board earlier, and engaging with the public to collect feedback earlier. The 2026 budget features a $7.2 million deficit. Now, that's down from the $8.5 million deficit in 2025. Hintz says he's already looking to reduce the deficit even further for 2027, and he's begun looking at opportunities for cuts and changes.
We are a service-driven, you know, organization. We provide services to people with our people. And the most important asset, the most valued part of Winnebago County government are our people, whether it is our facilities, custodial, nursing home staff, nurses, social workers, sheriff's deputies, highway workers. Everything we do is about serving the people and improving the lives of people in Winnebago County.
Residents can download the 181-page budget proposal or the budget and brief documents from the reports page of the new Winnebago County website. The proposed 2025 Winnebago County budget will be presented to the board at a budget workshop session 6 p.m. Monday, October 27th.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.fm.
The playoffs continue in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Cubs. Tonight in Game 2 of their best-of-five series, the Brewers winning Game 1 on Saturday 9-3, lefty Aaron Ashby named the opener for the crew tonight. NFL, the Packers back at work after a bye. They'll host Cincinnati on Sunday. College football, the Badgers losing at Michigan, 24-10. Luke Fickell.
Well, we're not here to sugarcoat anything. Obviously, there obviously is always some good, but our ability to sustain and finish is where, you know, we still are not close to where we need to be.
Wisconsin has now lost three in a row. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight against the Heat. Giannis recovering from COVID. When will he be ready to play?
We're going to need a good 3 days. He told me two, but after watching him, I think it's three for sure.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports on Mike Clemens.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Have the umbrella handy today. Cloudy skies with some scattered showers from time to time. Temperatures holding steady in the lower 60s. Still a few showers possible this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low of 47. Sunny and comfortable on Tuesday. Highs in the mid-60s. Currently, it's 62.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No one knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the incomparable, the indefatigable Congresswoman Gwen Moore, talking all things shut down and who really bears the responsibility. Hint, it's Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. He looks a little confused right now because I played the wrong music, but that's okay. Now, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
It's one curve after another. John and Gordy are here as well from WMDX in Madison. Professional live radio, ain't nothing like it, right, guys?
No, nothing like it.
You got it. You got it. Are you in a different location today, Pat?
I am. Thursday, Friday, I was in Nashville. Today, I'm in Dallas for the next
Dallas. Few
days here. First, there was a conference that Sherry was attending, and on our way down here to visit, we got one daughter lives here along with a couple of grandkids. The other daughter brought her kids along, so we've got the whole hoot and holler together this week for a few
Wow.
Down here in Dallas as we enjoy about an hour of the day at the beginning and an hour at the end, and in the middle you just look for air conditioning wherever you can get it. That's all the Texas.
Well,
yeah, so I hope you guys had a good weekend.
We did not as busy as your weekend apparently. Yeah. But it was warm, beautiful weather up here in Madison and in Wisconsin, I believe. So mm-hmm. Yeah, everything went well. In fact, we might be getting some rain today, which we could use. My lawn looks outrageous.
Mm-hmm. And I was busy at the walk to help end Alzheimer's, which mm-hmm. was a huge turnout here in Madison at Warner Park. And perfect weather for that, but saw a lot of the folks, and WMDX was one of the participating sponsors for that. So it was great to see everybody there.
And we talked to Pam Yonke, the Farm Babe, about the World Dairy Expo, and that was just a fantastic event. But really, really hot weather for all the animals there, trying mm-hmm. to keep them cool and comfortable, and that was not easy to do. One thing I did learn, though, the cattle or the cows they bring in from Canada have to have passports. So
I didn't pick up on that part of the conversation.
Hoof print down there. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes, the hoof print. Got to make sure they're not smuggling anything.
Yeah. I mean, this is reminiscent of the old, butter and margarine battles.
Yes.
Of days gone by.
Did you participate in that? Did your parents participate in that?
I don't know. I remember hearing the tales of it about going to get the oleo, and you'd have this little packet of yellow dye that you would mix mm-hmm. in with it so that it looked like butter.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't the same.
I think my parents knew somebody in the inside because we had
inside.
We bought the yellow margarine already. We didn't have to mix it or anything.
Ah.
Yeah, we the whole family, by the way, went down there in a car, picked up this oleo margarine, yellow.
It sounds
we brought
so
it back to Milwaukee.
It just sounds like reminiscent of the bootleggers. They needed something else to do once Prohibition was over. So it's like, now we're not running moonshine anymore. We're running margarine into those dairy states that don't allow it. But it was I did hear about I've been monitoring the weather there. It was like 87 up on Lake Wissota on Saturday. I don't think we're going to see 87 anymore.
No.
We could, but it looks like fall's here for real now. And that's fine. You got these great events like the walk to end Alzheimer's. We were just talking before the break about how you guys in Madison, you've got so many trails for biking and walking and doing all these events. It's just wonderful for recreation, and how Wisconsin's been a real leader in converting, you know, old rail lines that aren't used anymore into these bike and walking trails. So,
yeah,
I mean, there's just no excuse to be a couch potato around these days.
Well, and they're just about to start a huge, I think, 3-year project on John Nolan Drive, which will reroute the bike paths over that way. And well, it's going to reroute everything. It's going to be a mess.
It is going to be an absolute mess. And anybody that uses John Nolan to kind of come into Madison from the south, as Parker points right to himself and chagrins, is going to have to take one of those other roads. I was telling folks before about down here in Dallas, you know, they've got nothing but land. They got nothing but space to put everything in. And so the freeways here have all these extra express lanes and, you know, everything. So it's amazing what you can do with oil money. Apparently there's a lot of it down here.
Yeah.
You can build the roads super nice. Although I did have a comment here about from Tony going, toll roads, express lanes. You're not turning into a fib on us, are you, Pat? I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to say that. In Wisconsin, I don't know that toll roads would ever fly. To me, that always has struck me as like the, you know, political poison to suggest that we have a toll roads in Wisconsin.
Maybe
there's an appetite now. I don't know.
Well, they talked about it for a while. Mm-hmm. My idea was to just, you know, put a toll road at the beginning at the border.
At the border. Yeah.
and just have, you know, truckers go through. They need to pay for the roads. You know, they're wearing them out. So why not have just something at the border of the state?
Yeah. I'd be good with the trucks paying it, because sometimes, especially when one decides to ride next to the other one and they're blocking both lanes for a while, it's when I get on my soapbox and I'm like, you know, we could give these trucks a road of their own, and they could all just stay on that one road in that one lane. We could even put all the trucks together as they go down. You know what? We could put steel rails down and make it even easier for all that cargo to go up. Now, well, we could call it a railroad. And then we would need quite so many trucks on the road if that could happen.
Right.
I'm afraid that ship has sailed. Everybody wants instant gratification. We can't be waiting for the trains. We got to get things right to where they got to be right now.
Look, I want to take care of the tolls. All the fibbers that are coming up here, they own property, land, lakefront properties. That's cool. Pay for the roads too, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it is. And I think we should at least get some help with our roads.
Yeah, that is actually where I have the one unpopular position, is people get their EVs and they don't like the higher, you know, cost for the tabs, because they're like, why? It's like you're penalizing me. Well, no, we're just making sure you pay for part of the roads too, because you're clearly not paying it at the gas pump anymore, which is a good thing, don't get me wrong, but yes, you still got to help pony up for, you know, some of the wear and tear on the roads.
Well, I've got an EV now.
Yep, that's where we turn to John's ongoing update to turn his home into a mini power plant for all the drivers in Madison to stop
by. I'm going
to
start using a lot of electricity in my
home.
How's
that going?
Well, we're getting a charging station put in on the 14th of this month.
Ooh, we're getting there now. Okay.
Yes, and it only costs about $2,000, Pat. So I'm spending tons of money just to put an EV in so I can save a little money on gasoline. I don't know if this is working out for me.
I would love to see in the end, if you could track all the expenses and see if it works out in the end or not. I think that it will, but you have to do these big expenses, you know, for outlay, and it makes you question it, you know?
Yeah.
But no regrets at this point.
No regrets. You know, it's just the experience, a lot of learning. You have to really educate yourself on all of this. You know, what kind of stations you use. You have to download the apps for two or three different kinds of manufacturers of those stations and set up accounts with them.
But you're finding a few little things on the car that are not to your liking, though, like the door handles.
Oh, the door handles, Pat. Yeah, you know.
Listen to this.
Look, Tesla came up with this idea to streamline these cars. So those door handles that stick out just a little bit create a tremendous amount of friction.
So they wanted to streamline it.
So they streamlined it, and now you have to push the handle in order. It's kind of like a seesaw, you know.
And
it just
push it on one side to bring the handle out.
But here's the story. On the other side. Here's the story. China has decided to abandon that idea completely because they can't really see the logic in going to the extreme of not having handles on doors simply for the fact that it might cause a bit of friction. They're not doing it. They're getting rid of it.
We're not racing here. This isn't Formula One where a door handle could make the difference.
Exactly. Right.
Just wait until winter and it freezes over and you can't get into your car.
What I'm worried about, you know, ice or snow building up behind the handle and I'm not able to kind of push it in.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen. Well, I'll tell you that story when the time comes.
Yeah. You won't be able to get here.
Yeah,
that's right. You'll have to tell us the story by phone, you know, say, come get me. I can't get into my vehicle.
That's right.
So,
well, it'll be an excuse I'll use.
Yeah. Now, you guys, we've all been doing radio for a long time here since, baseball was only on the radio. TV hadn't been invented yet. Mm-hmm. So as you track the Brewers, I wanted to ask you guys, for as long as you've been doing morning radio, when there's either a Packer night game or like the Brewers game doesn't even start till 8 o'clock.
Right.
Do you still for the purposes of, you know, show prep and research, you know, stay up past your bedtime, or do you just, you know, in this day and age go, you know what, I'll catch the highlights at 5 a.m. and that'll be good?
Oh, I'm staying up, definitely, but I'm
you're staying
up. Absolutely, but I'll take a nap sometime this afternoon to you know, get ready for it. But I know it's crazy. I don't know why they're doing this at 8 o'clock at night. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Just the money. It's just the networks and the money. Yeah. Yeah.
I turn in, you know, I'll get so keyed up. I'll so angry about the game that I won't be able to get to sleep right away. So I just give up early on. So, you know, I don't really know what's going on and I'm good.
Just check the highlights.
Find out in the morning. Tomorrow. Anyway, Gordy keeps track of that for me.
Yeah.
I was explaining how I couldn't see any of game one because we were traveling. We were at the Nashville airport on Saturday afternoon. And you be in Tennessee and you try to get just one of the 7,000 TVs at the Nashville airport to not be on college football. And good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So instead I was following it on the phone. I'm looking at the score updates. Well, first off, the Cubs scored first, top of the first, you know, leadoff home run. And we're like, oh, this is not good, you know. But Freddie kind of, you know, took hold of things after that. And next thing you know, the Brewers bats are going to work. And as I'm watching the score just pile on, I texted to a couple of buddies. I said, I'm so sad I'm missing this on TV just for the cutaways of Craig Counsell. Well, sure enough, a few minutes later on social media, people start putting posts of Counsell smirking as the camera cuts away to him, which frankly makes it one of the best parts of the game.
Yeah. You know. Well, the fans were really giving it to him in the stadium. It was nonstop.
Can't say that I blame him. I've said all the time, yes, he deserved to be the highest paid manager in baseball, but there were also other teams that were going, and he didn't necessarily have to go to the Cubs. So I don't mind the extra ribbing that he gets and how good this is going to feel if we end up prevailing in this series. But to do that, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We have to keep in mind that we still got to play the game tonight. 7:35 is the start time on several Civic Media radio stations. And then you've got the Badgers who will play next Saturday. That's a night game at Iowa. 4 p.m. coverage begins next Saturday. But I was telling Parker before, guys, that we've reached that era now where because the Badgers didn't suffer an embarrassing loss this past Saturday, it's practically a win.
It is.
It's a good way to put it.
Nice way to look at it.
Right.
It's the, what do they call those? The symbolic victories, you know? Yeah,
that's right.
The things that we'll take when we can. We're talking to John and Gordy from WMDX in Madison, and we'll continue that conversation. And then 15 minutes from now or so, we're going to be talking about the cuts that are coming to healthcare. There's a lot of focus on the government shutdown, understandably, but we can't forget how we got to this point. We got to this point because of major cuts coming to the Affordable Care Act and to Medicaid, and Democrats wanting them restored. Republicans need Democratic votes to pass a budget, and yet they don't want to negotiate with those same Democrats. So we'll talk to Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin all about keeping our eye on the ball and restoring some of those health care cuts that are otherwise coming. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
It's time for Eye on the Community on WISS, sponsored by Inside Eye Care, serving the Fox Valley since 1972 with comprehensive eye care services. Find them on North Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Their goal is to improve lives by improving sight with quality eye care for everyone in your family. Inside Eye Care. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam today. Now, here's what's happening in our area. Menominee Park Zoo is the place to be on October 17th for Brews in the Zoo. It's a free night out for the adults. Dress up in your best costume and enjoy local craft beers, food trucks, costume contests, raffles, and live music. Burn off all that fun on Sunday, October 26th with the Wisconsin Herd, the NBA G League affiliate of the Wisconsin Bucks, for the 4th annual Run with the Herd 5K Run and the 1K Family Fun Run. This has been your Eye on the Community, brought to you by Inside Eye Care. If it's happening in the Oshkosh area, it's on WISS.
Powered by friendship, fun, and manager Murph's Pocket Pancakes, the Milwaukee Brewers have a new franchise regular season record of 97 wins. Congratulations.
Unreal.
Now it's on to the postseason.
The summer of Sal, maybe the fall of Freeland.
Catch all the action on your station for the Brewers in October. 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, WISS.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know, Civic Media has this new daily newsletter called Civic Media Today. Somebody really went on a limb naming that one. What was that committee meeting like down there, guys? CivicMediaToday.substack.com. Plenty of links to shows and highlights from the shows. And if you're catching us on the radio rather than social media and you want to know what did John and Gordy look like, well, get to the newsletter. CivicMediaToday.substack.com, allegedly.
Sorry. Would they do that?
I don't think they. That's probably not a great idea. No. I don't know.
We've been working with AI now, trying to come up with different ideas, different kind of ways to promote the show, come up with posters and certain products that we want to add to our store eventually. And I put together a storybook about going back to cursive.
Going back to cursive.
Okay. Cursive handwriting.
We're pretending as though we have a long past of putting out products that didn't quite work out. Bandwagons we shouldn't have jumped on. Cursive was one of those bandwagons. And AI is interesting. It can be fun. It's entertaining to some extent. And if you want to find out more about going back to cursive,
we've got it on our Facebook page.
John and Gordy Facebook page.
Okay.
It's a little storybook and
AI storybook
drew some pictures of us, some artist renderings of us, and created a whole story.
It was really kind of interesting or frightening what all that AI can do already. And yet there have also been enough stories about these data centers and how much is needed for resources, for water, right, for electricity, yes, that I'm now going to feel guilty every time I ask it to do some goofball thing rather than, you know, solve the theory of relativity, sure, or these things that these massive computer centers could do for us. And instead it's like, you know, what would I look like if I was a centaur, you know, and do a storybook on that? I don't know.
I did hear a discussion on Civic Media. I don't know what show it was, but they were talking about that. And apparently they're paying an extra tax. They're paying something extra to put that kind of load on the current systems that we have in the state.
I hope so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're going to pay a little extra. I hope a lot extra.
I would too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did put the Chat GPT app on my iPhone. I haven't used it a ton, mm-hmm, but the couple of times that I've put something in there, I have been really impressed with the answers that come back. I mean, it's so different than, you know, by comparison, our early Google searches were almost like cave paintings. You know, you got to think of like the three key words that will generate some good responses. And now you just write it out in plain English and you get a plain English response in return. So it's right, it's making some nice strides. I don't know. Maybe you guys don't do as much with it other than storybooks.
I thought Hey Google was actually pretty good, you mm-hmm know. And now that's been replaced by Gemini, I believe.
Yes.
So Google's Gemini.
Yes. The problem is that Gemini wants a piece of everything, along with all these other note taker programs like mm-hmm Otter and things like that. Can you do any meetings online at all without suddenly getting like 14 different messages of so-and-so's note taker wants to join the meeting? Somebody's right, Otter, somebody's Gemini, somebody's whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like I needed more reasons to be reminded that I'm being listened to all the time.
It is annoying. Yeah,
well, I think the scary thing, we didn't get to it on the program today, but it was that Ring doorbells are going to have face recognition
abilities
now, which, you know what,
if they can do that, not just for people, but I mean, I want to know which dog it was that left a gift, you know, on the front. So if we could do full recognition, you know, oh no, it was Fido, not Rover. So you know which neighbor that you can bother. Then it's okay. But yeah, because we were trained in this, we're pretty well aware of microphones and cameras and knowing that anything could be live at any point. But you know, we never thought it would come to the point where if I were to use the word, I don't know, coffee enough times in the remaining 2 minutes of this segment, I can guarantee the next time I go to Facebook, there's going to be some kind of a coffee ad on there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it came through phone listening or the computer listening, or maybe the coffee maker was listening because everything's connected to the internet these days.
Mm-hmm. Maybe if I just brought up cheap coffee beans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could get some ads for, some affordable coffee.
I was going to say maybe so, because what did I see? Coffee's up like 40% over the past 12 months, something like that.
Yeah, it is. Brazil has a lot of the coffee beans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everything is really high priced down there.
And so, by the way, unfortunately, that much I get. The funny thing, funny is maybe not the right word, but we talk a lot about soybeans and mm-hmm you know, Trump's trade war and how now China's getting all their soybeans from Argentina and Brazil. Yep. And I don't know nearly enough about, what's China doing with all these soybeans anyway? What are we getting out of it? I mean,
yeah,
we talk about soy burgers and things like that, but what else? So,
well, if you go into an Asian market, you'll find a lot of soy crackers mm-hmm and candies.
Edamame.
Yeah, they use a lot of soy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we know that it's, you know what? I kind of put it up there in the category of ginseng, in that I know we produce a ton of it mm-hmm and that we have Asian markets that really want it, but I've never like actually gone to Walgreens and said, hey, can I get some ginseng? Because I don't know what I'd be asking it for.
Or if I don't know what it does. You know, I'm still, you know, just in a fog about ginseng. I don't know what it does.
I'm kind of afraid to ask, and I'm afraid it might have something to do with that really explicit Taylor song, Taylor Swift song that we've been talking about for the past few days. But I'm connecting dots that maybe I shouldn't be connecting here.
You should connect those dots. Wait a minute here.
You can hear John and Gordy on our Madison station through Civic Media, through the app, or down in the Madison area on WMDX. Guys, thank you so much for getting the week started here. Hope you have a great day.
Appreciate it.
You too, Pat. Thanks.
All right. When we come back, we are going to be talking more about the possibility of healthcare cuts that are driving this government shutdown with Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin. That's coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
The city of Neenah is taking steps to develop its first three-year strategic plan. And to that end, it's asking for people who live and or work in Neenah to provide input. Additionally, the city plans on holding two in-person meetings to offer residents the chance to share their ideas and engage with city leaders. For links to the survey and more information about the strategic plan, see our story at WISS.fm. A new policy for the Universities of Wisconsin system hopes to make transferring easier. The proposed Board of Regents policy would ensure that all core general education courses can transfer between each of the 13 UW schools. Core general education requirements could range from 30 to 36 credit hours in 10 to 12 courses across six different categories. A UW system press release says establishing these core courses would strengthen existing transfer pathways and reduce the time for students to earn a degree. The policy will be reviewed by the Board of Regents this fall and, if approved, would go into effect for students enrolling in the fall of 2026. Some good news for a change. Wallet Hub has released its 2025 Best Small Cities list, and two Wisconsin municipalities made the grade. One is here in the Fox Valley. Wallet Hub compared more than 1,300 U.S. cities with populations between 25,000 and 100,000 across 45 key indicators of livability, ranging from housing costs to school system quality to restaurants per capita to the crime rate. Appleton is listed as number 9 in the top 20. The other Wisconsin city to make the list was Brookfield at number 2. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Peaky Blinders is the gift that keeps on giving to its loyal fans. Netflix and the BBC have announced that the popular show about the Shelby crime gang is getting a two-season sequel, according to Screen Rant. The period drama, created by Stephen Knight, will have six episodes in each season that will air on BBC One in the UK and Netflix worldwide. The new seasons will pick up after the Peaky Blinders movie, also written by Knight, called The Immortal Man. There is no release date yet for the film, which stars Cillian Murphy, Stephen Graham, and Rebecca Ferguson. There were rumors that the movie would be the end of the franchise, but that no longer appears to be the case. Knight says that the show will follow a new generation of Shelbys in the sequel. The Immortal Man will act as a bridge between the original show, which ran for six seasons, and the new iteration. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Have the umbrella handy today. Cloudy skies with some scattered showers from time to time. Temperatures holding steady in the lower 60s. Still a few showers possible this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low of 47. Sunny and comfortable on Tuesday. Highs in the mid-60s. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. But when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, book bans have not gone away, but we tend to forget about it. We're going to talk about book bans and what that means for our children. Please join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
All right, well, even when I'm on the road, like being down here in Dallas this week, I've still got time to read the Up North News daily newsletter, and you should too. You can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on the top of our homepage, and get signed up. Today's edition, we've been talking about the Ice Age Trail and what a beautiful place that is to do some hiking as the leaves start to change color. And so look for an article there that Ellie's putting together and much more. Again, get the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Now getting back to the government shutdown and how long this is going to last. And in doing so, keeping in mind the root cause of this. And we've got a president who is coming up with all manner of distractions. For example, a lot of the halts to federal spending are not being done across the board. They're being done in an overtly partisan political way, shutting down projects in so-called blue states rather than red states, kind of stuff that is, you know, unethical as you can imagine. And we may get back into that tomorrow morning, but I say that to say again, to keep your eye on the ball. And what is this all about? And this is about cuts to healthcare and the increase number of people in Wisconsin and across the country that are learning about it. And they're learning about it because of groups like Opportunity Wisconsin. And Megan Rowe is going to join us now to tell us a bit more about what the group is doing. Megan, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good morning. You know, it's Monday, so we're hanging in there.
Yes, we are, with, you know, just day after day. And I watch the updates that you're putting on social media and some of the events that are taking place. And I mean, do you feel like characterized it fairly in talking about the increasing number of people in Wisconsin who are kind of getting past the talking points and understanding what this shutdown is really all about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been working since early 2020 to really highlight the impacts of economic policies at the federal level on Wisconsin workers and families. And I think this moment in time, more than ever since the beginning of our program, we're really seeing it sink in for people. You know, we held candlelight vigils last week before the shutdown took place in La Crosse, Eau Claire, and in Southeast Wisconsin. And it was a last minute event. We put it together and we had such amazing turnout because people were really concerned and are starting to really understand how this shutdown is going to impact their lives.
You know, we had Selena Heller on, one of our reporters at Up North News, and we ran a story that folks can see over on the Up North News social media sites. A woman from La Crosse getting very emotional, tearing up at the prospect of not being able to afford health insurance. She and her husband are just a little too young yet for Medicare, but they're also at a point where they don't have jobs that offer, you know, health insurance. And so the exchanges on the Affordable Care Act made health insurance affordable. And it's starting to hit them just how crazy expensive health insurance is going to become, you know, as the open enrollment period approaches next month. And I feel like what Selena did there was capture in just this one person what I think we're either seeing now or soon will be seen in households all around the state and frankly, all around the country as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line when it comes to the shutdown. Republicans shut down the government instead of lowering healthcare costs. They refuse to address massive healthcare cost increases and extend tax credits permanently that help many millions afford care. And so, as you said, without action, millions are going to see their premiums rise by an average of 75%. And so rather than fixing the problem, Republicans in Congress like Brian Steil and Derek Van Orden are just sitting on their hands as we speak today.
And the thing is, I mean, and I've seen this in your social media posts and emails, that these are two among many members of Congress who said, we will not vote for something that makes massive cuts to healthcare. And yet here we're seeing the massive cuts to healthcare coming. And what we always hear, Megan, is that, well, the cuts are actually to make sure that people who qualify for Medicaid or Affordable Care Act subsidies actually get them. But I mean, that's not the point. The point actually appears to be adding all kinds of red tape or expense to people who do get it. When you're cutting $1 trillion from Medicaid over time here, it's pretty clear that $1 trillion in Medicaid wasn't going to undocumented immigrants.
Oh, absolutely. And to your point, earlier this year, Opportunity Wisconsin flew out to Washington, D.C. with a handful of folks from across the state to help them share their personal stories with their members of Congress. And we actually sat down with Congressman Van Orden for upwards of two and a half hours. And in that meeting, he made promises to his constituents in that room that he was not going to cut or touch their benefits. And shortly after that meeting, both he and Congressman Steil passed that tax law that ripped healthcare away from over 100,000 Wisconsinites and made drastic cuts to SNAP. And again, this is all to pay for tax breaks for the wealthy. And now, as we sit here today, they're blocking plans to reverse that damage and to lower healthcare costs additionally.
Can I ask you that when you sat down with Congressman Van Orden, and I just want to know if you heard this much, I recall seeing that and I thought, and I'm sure other people are thinking too, it's like, why are you letting this congressman, you know, first off, it was, I guess, good for him and the others that they sat with you, you know, knowing your positions on the issues and things. I thought, well, you're giving him oxygen to say, you know, what we assume is falsely, I'm not going to make any such cuts. But of course, in hindsight, you see the wisdom of that. You've actually got him on the record with you promising not to make these cuts.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we certainly were skeptical that he would even take a meeting with us. And we're glad to see that he was at least willing to sit down in that conversation with his constituents. And like I said, he made the promises that he would not cut those benefits. He essentially lied in that conversation, went forward to make those cuts. And since then, you know, like I said, love to give him the benefit of the doubt that he sat down with us. But after he made those cuts, if you'll recall, he has refused to hold any in-person town halls or conversations open to his constituents. And so it's very clear that both he and Congressman Steil know exactly the impact of these votes that they have taken, and they're afraid to adjust their constituents.
Right. We're talking to Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin about keeping an eye on the ball when it comes to the healthcare cuts that are being made here. So now I have to, as I often do, say it, you know, in fairness about the enhanced tax benefits for the Affordable Care Act. These are credits that were due to expire. And so there are definitely cuts coming to Medicaid programs. This one is more of something that was due to expire. The point being, though, Megan, is that, again, Democrats have been saying, if you want our votes to help pass a new federal budget, part of it is extending these tax credits. So, I mean, people, I believe, Megan, are aware or need to be aware that in some cases we're talking about actual cuts. In other cases, we're talking about benefits that were set to expire, but they're really good and they work. And why wouldn't you continue them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially you hear stories from small businesses that have benefited greatly from these this additional support in their healthcare costs. And, you know, small businesses are already struggling across this country because of rising costs, because of Trump's tariffs that Congressman Steil and Congressman Van Orden also support. And so this doesn't have to happen. Republicans chose the shutdown because they wanted working families and small businesses to pay more for healthcare. And so they need to be putting these working families first, reverse the harmful Medicaid cuts that they made earlier this year, prevent healthcare costs from rising, and keep the government open.
I've been asked by Tony on YouTube here whether the meeting with Van Orden was that something that was recorded and published? Or is that something that you took part in and reported on afterwards?
Yeah. It's something we took part in and reported on afterward. And there was a group of about six or seven constituents in that meeting, and they all had the opportunity to go around and share their story, which was great and is really at the core of what we do at Opportunity Wisconsin, is uplifting individual stories and help them get across to their elected officials. But unfortunately, it seems like it fell on deaf ears.
Yeah. And by the way, there's ample recorded interactions with Congressman Van Orden, for example. He was famous for saying that benefits for people who deserve them won't go down a nickel. He repeated it. We've repeated his words back several times that he said they wouldn't go down a nickel. They're going down a lot more than a nickel, you know, as we go forward here. So we've now established these types of cuts, these things that could be restored to make healthcare more affordable. Before we go looking forward, I always feel like it's necessary to again say that these cuts, these lapses of enhanced tax credits, these are not things that are going to save money to taxpayers. These are just all going to pay for tax cuts for the very wealthy. So for folks going, well, yeah, we need to cut government spending. We're not really cutting government spending here, are we?
No, absolutely not. And frankly, the shutdown that we're currently in is going to be forcing millions to go without paychecks. We're on day six, so pretty soon folks are not going to be receiving their paychecks. It could be delaying Social Security and veterans benefits. And one thing that I think is starting to gain more traction that I don't think a lot of folks are talking about is how it is going to be cutting off nutrition assistance for pregnant women and young children through WIC. That program is set to run out of money at some point this week. And on top of the SNAP benefits that were cut earlier this year, you can imagine that is going to be very devastating for a lot of people in Wisconsin.
So let's look forward then in our last couple of minutes here, and you know, the, either things that you're doing or things that you think people can do if they want to, you know, either learn more about the issue or have some kind of input on, you know, their concerns about the current shutdown.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, we're squarely focused on the shutdown right now and making sure people are educated and understand that this is an issue that can be solved if Republicans like Congressman Van Orden and Congressman Stile would stop sitting on their hands and decide to put working families in Wisconsin first. And so folks can visit us at opportunitywisconsin.org, where they can share their story about how this shutdown is impacting them. They can follow us on social media, share their story there, and stay in touch, because we're hosting events all throughout this month and as long as it takes to make sure our elected representatives know how this is impacting their constituents. We're also talking about Trump's tariffs that are really, as I said, having a huge impact on small businesses and families. You know, Wisconsin families are already struggling to make ends meet. And with the rising cost of groceries, back to school items, as we get into the holiday season, we already know that gifts for loved ones are going to be much more expensive this year. And so we want folks to stay involved and stay engaged, because raising your voice is really one of the most important ways we can make change at the policy level.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we've had all this focus on healthcare, but we also have, you know, the trade war that the president started and the impact that we're continuing to, you know, feel on the store shelves and what we're going to see, you know, come the holiday season. So I'm glad you're able to keep the eye on more than one ball at a time. We always feel so overwhelmed, but we've got groups like Opportunity Wisconsin that are able to do that. Megan Rowe is the program director. And again, opportunitywisconsin.org is the place to go to learn more. Thank you, Megan, very much for visiting with us and giving us some background.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thank you again. Have a wonderful day. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Jane Matinair and Greg Bach. Have Matinair on air weekdays from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're going to find out what kinds of things are being planned for the show this week. As for this show, for the coming week, we've got Dan Schaefer in this block tomorrow from the recombobulation area. We'll have Cam Stevenson live from Capitol Hill at the start of our 8 o'clock hour, letting us know anything new on the shutdown. And we've got Congressman Mark Pocan joining us on Thursday. That again here on these mornings with Pat Wrightlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane Mattenair is coming up next.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Did your child miss out on the last opportunity to try hockey for free? Don't worry, I got you. It's another new Wisco 411. And I'm Amanda, here to tell you that another Try Hockey for Free opportunity is on Saturday, October 11th from 12 to 1:30 at the Tri-County Ice Arena in Appleton. This is recommended for ages 4 to 9, and no skating experience is needed. Plus, they're going to help provide equipment. If your child's always been interested and just wants to see if they like it, definitely go. My kid had a blast at the last one. Head to WISS.FM and click events.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Also coming up this week, we'll be talking to Chuck Collins, who was an heir to the Oscar Mayer fortune and then essentially gave it away, and has been talking a lot about wealth inequality in the country. He's got a new book, Burned by Billionaires. Chuck Collins of Patriotic Billionaires will be our guest on Wednesday coming up on the program. Jane Mattenair is our guest now. Jane and Greg, you can hear them weekday mornings at 9, and you go, well, where's the Greg part of it? Greg's on Friday mornings as part of our history lesson at 6:30, and Jane joins us on Mondays to talk about what's coming up on the show this week. Good morning, Jane. How was your weekend?
Good.
Oh, it was great. I was on the road. A friend and I did a road trip, and we went to Prairie du Chien. He had never been to the western part of the state. I have never been to Prairie du Chien, and he is a big historical home preservationist, and he's a big part of that in here in Racine. And there is a historic Villa Louis in Prairie du Chien that was built in 1885. Ooh. So we went and toured Villa Louis. And it was fabulous. It was what a beautiful. I love our state so much because no matter where you go, the topography is so different, and the it's just it's so beautiful in so many different ways.
I may go back to Prairie du Chien, although I still have nightmares, a little PTSD about Prairie du Chien from the time that I was actually kidnapped aboard a riverboat by Al Gore.
And yes.
Remember he did the post-convention rally in the year 2000 at La Crosse the morning after the Democratic convention. And we were just there to cover, you know, Al Gore getting on the boat. And Claire Shipman was an NBC reporter at the time. And she's like, you have to come on the boat too. I'm like, no, we have to get back to Eau Claire. Well, they're only talking, taking questions from local reporters. So you have to come on and ask a question for NBC Nightly News. Tom Brokaw's counting on you. Well, how are you going to say?
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. And they'll just let you off right at the next stop. There was no next stop.
Oh,
hours and hours and hours went by before we could interview Al Gore. And yeah, we covered this, what, 10 a.m. event or whatever it was. And it wasn't until like 10 p.m. we got dropped off in Prairie du Chien.
Oh, no.
Had to basically ask our competition at Channel 19 if we could ride in the back of their news car.
We're just going to hang onto the sides. Would you mind if we we
had to lay in the back of, you know, like the station wagon on top of all the spools of cable and camera equipment all the way back to our car in La Crosse and then get back to the station sometime well after midnight. So I never got my piece on air. There was nothing on you know, the nightly news or anything like
gosh.
That. It was an entirely wasted day, which is not the fault of the good people of Prairie du Chien, I hasten to add.
But yes, probably.
That's my experience there. So I need a better experience. So I'm glad you've suggested a place I could go.
You should go. Yeah, yes. You should go to Prairie du Chien. It's a lovely little town and some great little restaurants and little shoppes. And then if you drive right over the bridge on Highway 18, and then you're in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And again, Little Marquette, Iowa is right on the other side of the bridge. I wanted to drive over the bridge because ever since a couple of years ago, one of my sisters and I went to Superior Duluth, mm-hmm. and I drove over the Blotnick Bridge.
Yes.
I've had bridge phobia, so I am trying.
I believe it.
That is the scariest bridge in the
world.
It
is a very scary bridge, yes.
Is that it Blotnick old and bridge. Rickery or what?
It's a metal
very
it's a metal
long,
structure.
It's very archy. So you it sometimes feel like you're just going to go right over the edge at some point. Yeah. And it's way up above the Twin Ports, of course, because all these massive ships have to go underneath.
Yeah, it's a really high bridge. So I'm trying to get over my bridge phobia by attacking smaller, less scary bridges.
Yes. People know the Hone Bridge in Milwaukee, and I'm blanking on the name of the bridge in Green Bay, which also, of course, is a big high bridge as well. The Blatnick Bridge puts those to shame.
Really does. And normally that has never happened to me before that I got freaked out by driving over a bridge. But yeah, we're halfway over the bridge and there was all this construction. And I looked at her and I said, we're going to die. I love you. It's been great. Thanks.
Okay. Which is why it's being replaced, because it's now 60 years old and starting to not be as safe. So
and who did that infrastructure that would be
Joe Biden and Democratic Congress.
Oh, yes, that's right. Because no Republicans voted for that, did they?
Not from Wisconsin.
Not
a single one, including Tom Tiffany, the congressman for that area. Yeah.
Little details.
What do you have coming up on the program?
Well, coming up today on the show in Sholly Pittman, Civic Media's news director. She's going to join us after the 9:30 news for a little update on what happened over the weekend. After the 10 o'clock news, we're going to talk to journalist Jackie Lydon and author Kathy Giorgio, who is an author from Waukesha. She was on like this Waukesha star, you know, she was one of the alumni stars because she was an author. And then they banned her book. So we're going to be talking about book bans There is an event in Waukesha this coming Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. If you are, this is something that, again, because of all the other news that happens on a daily basis, we have forgotten that we're still banning books.
Yeah.
And what this means and what this indicates and why this isn't good. So we're going to talk about that in hour number two. Last half hour of the show, we lighten things up, Pat, with audio sorbet. And we're going to talk about how do you alarm? Some people, how do you alarm? Okay. Some people, Greg doesn't use an alarm.
I love my watch. I love using my watch alarm because it's just a very gentle thing on your wrist to wake you up. It's not the
slap you across the face.
Other people really need that, you know?
Yeah, Greg said he wakes up before his alarm almost all the time. I still have a clock alarm.
That's adorable.
I know. Isn't that cute? For those of you who are watching on the stream who don't know, a radio alarm is a small box that you plug in and then you can get radio stations on it.
You got to send
you can also
to Parker.
Can set the alarm. It's an amazing thing.
It is, especially if and if you don't want to hear the radio station, you just put it between stations and you get the static instead.
Mine actually has, I have the choice of sounds. Ooh. I can have the crashing waves.
Oh.
I can have the rainforest. Nice. I don't all rainforest. That keeps that's me awake. Great. And then I think of snakes. But anyway.
Thank you, Jane. Have a great day. Appreciate it. The rest of you have a wonderful day as well. And we will see you back here from Dallas tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Late last night, a federal judge temporarily blocked the Trump administration from deploying any National Guard units to Oregon. That move coming after she at first blocked Oregon National Guard troops to go to Portland, and then the Trump administration sent troops from California and Texas there anyway. ABC's Jim Ryan has the Texas governor's reaction.
It wouldn't be the first time that Governor Greg Abbott has deployed the Texas National Guard for non-traditional duty. He sent 5,500 troops to the sites of protests against immigration raids and deportations, but within state borders. Now Abbott says he fully supports President Trump's deployment of the Texas National Guard to, quote, ensure safety for federal officials in Illinois.
Immigration agents.